The doctrine of water. The word of God is alive and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder, the soul and the spirit, and the joints and the marrow, and is according to thoughts and intents of the heart. All scripture is God-breathed and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God might be mature, fully furnished unto all good works. Study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that needs not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. And that will be the doctrine of water. Prior to our Bible study, as our custom, we will spend a few moments in silent prayer, giving you the opportunity, if necessary, to use the rebound technique. If you're already in fellowship, then you can use the time to fire up a prayer to the Holy Spirit, guide you and challenge you to learn the doctrines today. Of course, we pray to the Father in the name of Christ and the filling of the Holy Spirit. Let us pray. Father, thank you again for the privilege of studying your word. We pray that God, the Holy Spirit, will enlighten us in Christ's name. Amen. The doctrine of water, point one, it has a literal use in the Bible, obviously, but it also is portrayed in three other ways in the Bible. It's used to illustrate the doctrine of grace. It's used to illustrate the doctrine of salvation. And it's used to illustrate the doctrine of Bible doctrine. So point two, water often illustrates the concept of grace, which is our first category, as anyone can drink. And that's what grace is all about. You don't earn it. You don't deserve it. You can't work for it. Anybody can drink. The worst person you can imagine can drink, and the best person you can imagine can drink. Good people, bad people, tall people, short people, etc., etc. Isaiah 55, 1, Revelation 22, 17. Isaiah 55, 1 says, "Ho, everyone who thirsts," and that's tsame, which means to be thirsty, and this is a synonym for having positive volition in your soul, "comes to the waters, maim, and you who have no money, keshef," which means silver or money. Remember, in the ancient world, they had the barter system in many cases, but they did have coins, silver coins or silver bars and different types of things of value. "And you who have no money, come, buy and eat." Well, how can you buy and eat if you have no money? Because it's grace. And it says, "Come, buy wine and milk without money and without cost." This is grace. You don't have to pay or do anything for salvation. Christ did all the work, and therefore you get the free meal. And when people say there's no such thing as a free lunch, well, this is one time there is such a thing as a free lunch. All you have to do is to come. You have to have positive volition. You have no money, doesn't matter. You can come, buy, and eat. Of course, you're not buying because someone else has picked up the tab and the tip and everything else. That's Jesus Christ. My dad belongs to a group of World War II veterans. We take them there once a month and at Denny's in Bernie. And for the last 6 months, the group there has not paid for their breakfast because somebody came in and saw them meeting there and picked up the tab for like 6 months worth of breakfasts. And the rumors are that it was Roger Staubach that was in town or whatever somehow was at the Denny's there and saw the group there. One of the World War II vets died last month, so they're falling out of the march rapidly. I think there's about six that are left there that have this meeting in Bernie. But somebody picked up the tabs and the meal and everything else. Revelation 22:17, the Holy Spirit and the bride say. Now, of course, the word holy is not in the original. I added there because that's who it's talking about. It just says the Spirit. So it's the Holy Spirit and the bride say, come, erkomai is the word for come, which means to come from one place to another. And let the one who hears say, come. And let the one who is thirsty, dipsao, which means to be thirsty. Again, you're on positive volition. Come. Let the one who wishes, thelo, which means to will, to desire, take the water, hudor, of life, zoe, without cost, doria, which is a gift, without cost to you. So if you want it, it's there. So obviously this speaks to the concept of grace, that God has done all the work for us. And of course, the primary concept here is the grace of God has appeared to all men. Of course, God provides grace provisions to the unbeliever as well, the divine institutions. They get the grace provisions to those things. Now, number three, water is used in the Bible to portray the truth of salvation. Isaiah 55:1, which, of course, the concept of grace and salvation is in there, obviously. Revelation 22:17, we just studied that. Concept of grace and the concept of salvation is in there, obviously. Jeremiah 2:13, Jeremiah 17:13, John 4:10-14, and John 6:35, 1 Corinthians 6:11. Water is used directly to portray the work of the Holy Spirit in the salvation process. John 3:5-6, John 7:37-39, John 14:16-17, and 26, John 16:12-14, Titus 3:5, Exodus 17:6. So Titus 3:5 says he saved us. He, of course, is Jesus Christ, who executed the plan. But you could also insert here God the Father, because he made the plan. He saved us not on the basis of deeds, and that is the word Christotes, which means moral goodness, which we have done in righteousness. This is our own righteousness, which really is self-righteousness. So he didn't save us on the basis of our good deeds. Well, how did he save us? Comma. But according, and that word is kata, which means according to a normal standard, to his mercy, elios, which means grace in action, by the washing, lutron, which means to take a bath, a complete bath, of regeneration. And that stands for the new, it's regeneration here, the word is palinensia, which means a new birth, and renewing anakinesis, anakinosis rather, a complete change for the better by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit takes the positive volition of the unbeliever. Well, first of all, the Holy Spirit takes the place of the human spirit, because the unbeliever has no human spirit. And he takes, and therefore the gospel is understood by the unbeliever, because without a spirit, you can't understand the gospel. So the Holy Spirit takes the place of the human spirit, and therefore the unbeliever can understand it. Then if the unbeliever says yes, positive volition, then the Holy Spirit takes that beep of faith and he makes it efficacious. He transfers it, makes it efficacious for salvation. So we have the common ministry of God, the Holy Spirit, taking the place of the human spirit, and the efficacious ministry of the Holy Spirit, taking the positive volition, if there is positive volition. Many unbelievers, there's no positive volition. They're not saved. They understood, but I don't believe it. So the Holy Spirit is the one that gives you this bath and the regeneration. That's called the baptism of the Spirit, which is a dry baptism. And you're renewed for the better. For the much, much better, obviously. You're now saved. John 3:5-6. Jesus answered, this is Nicodemus. Nicodemus was a Pharisee. He was a born-again believer Pharisee. Truly, amen, which means a point of truth. Truly, he repeats it twice to emphasize. And this should be, now hear this, pay attention when you hear truly, truly. I say to you, this is emphatically true, unless one is born, ganao, which means to be born of water, hudor, and the Holy Spirit, he cannot enter into, and that's eis erkomai, it means to come in or go out, the kingdom of God. So here the water stands for the doctrine, the ministry of the Holy Spirit. It stands for the gospel. So you're born of water. The water stands for the word, which you hear, and the Holy Spirit takes your beep of faith and makes it efficacious. And if you don't follow this pattern, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of flesh is flesh. That's the unbeliever. And that which is born of the Holy Spirit, pneuma, is human spirit, pneuma. That's the believer. We are born again by means of the Holy Spirit, taking our speck of faith and making it efficacious. So the water here stands for the water of the Word, the gospel. You hear it, and then the Holy Spirit, if you respond to it, the Holy Spirit makes it efficacious. Exodus 17:6. Behold, I, this is Jesus Christ, will stand before you there on the rock, Tusar, at Horeb, and you shall strike the rock. And what does this mean? Well, we'll explain what it means in a second. You shall strike the rock, this is speaking to Moses, and water, mayim, will come out of it, that the people may drink. And Moses did so in the sight of the elders of Israel. Now, this is a demonstration of what Christ would do on the cross, provide for salvation. These people were already saved. When they came out of Egypt, they were saved already. So, when Jesus Christ stands there on the rock, before you on the rock, and you're going to strike the rock, well, the rock is Jesus Christ. Now, when Moses took his stick and swung it, it went through Jesus Christ and hit the rock, which is Jesus Christ. It stands for Jesus Christ. And so that means that Christ will strike Jesus Christ, who is the rock. And then as a consequence of that, water will come out of it. And of course, water was very important to these people because they were dying of thirst. And therefore they had the water of the word. In this case, the water demonstrates the salvation work of Jesus Christ, that the people may drink. Not just these people, but all people. Everyone that drinks from that water is going to be saved. Now, they look forward to the cross, but we look back on the cross. And Moses did so in the sight of the elders of Israel, as he was commanded. 1 Corinthians 6:11. Such were some of you. In other words, as unbelievers, Paul is speaking retroactively, or retrospectively, rather. But you were washed, apoluo, which means to wash fully, like a bath. But you were sanctified, hagiazo. That just means you're set apart. But you were justified, dikaioo, which means you're rendered righteous. At the second of salvation, you receive God's righteousness imputed to your human spirit slash soul, because the human spirit's merged onto the human soul. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and the Spirit of our God, that's the Holy Spirit of our God. We want to put that in there in orange and parentheses. The Holy Spirit of our God. So in the name of Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit of our God, why the Holy Spirit is mentioned here? Because that's his ministry. That's what he does. God the Father planned salvation. Jesus Christ executed it. The Holy Spirit spreads it and delivers it to you when you believe. Pisteo. Number four, water is used to portray the truth of Bible doctrine. Ephesians 5:26, 1 John 5:6, 1 John 5:8. Ephesians 5:26 says, so that he might sanctify her, this is the church, having cleansed, katharizo, her by the washing. And that word is lutron, which is a bath of water, hudor, with the word, rhema. And so that's us, the church. We're saved already. He's already cleansed us by the washing of water with the word. So this stands for, of course, Bible doctrine. And that he might sanctify her, set her apart. So actually we get a twofer here. It obviously stands for water as salvation, but also stands just for the principle that water is Bible doctrine. When you come to drink, even the first passage we have in Isaiah, you come to drink of the water. Water is Bible doctrine. Once you're saved, that's your water. Man shall not live by bread alone. Of course, bread is sometimes used as an analogy for Bible doctrine. It's just like water. And these are good analogies because anybody, any believer can drink water. All you got to do is come to the well. Where's the well? Bible class. And of course, water is like, I throw out a bucket of water every time we do Bible class. How much you catch in your pail, I don't know. Some people might catch a cup full. Maybe somebody's got a thimble. Not my job to follow you around and see how much water you get. That's your problem. All my job is to throw the water out there. Five, in the great flood, water was used to judge the unbeliever. Point five. Genesis 7:14-25 is another way water is used in the Bible. And then six, water is used as a testing tool for the believer. Exodus 15:22-27. That was true. And we'll read from that. Then Moses led Israel from the Red Sea, and they went out into the wilderness of Shur. And they went 3 days in the wilderness and found no water. When they came to Marah, they could not drink the waters of Marah, for they were bitter. And the word bitter means Marah. So they went to the place called Bitter. Therefore, it was named Marah. So the people grumbled, lun, which means to complain, to murmur at Moses, saying, what shall we drink? That word is shaphath. Then he cried out to the Lord. I didn't cry. These aren't tears. It just means he's making a strong, emphatic request of the Lord. And the Lord showed him a tree, and he threw it into the waters, and the waters became sweet. There he made for them a statute and regulation, and there he tested them. Nasa, to test. So God tested them. What are you going to do when you get bitter things in life? Suffering, right? Well, God can take, in this case, he took a tree, threw it in the water. The tree represents what? Cursed is he who hangs on the tree. Represents Christ, represents grace. Threw it in the water. And the water became sweet. In fact, that was the best tasting water you would ever taste. So people pay big bucks today for water, smart water. I like, what's the one that Coca-Cola makes?
Dasani.
Yeah, Dasani, yeah. And, of course, you know, Coca-Cola was founded by a Confederate veteran. If people realize that, they'd probably stop drinking Coca-Cola. He was wounded by a sword in the in 1864 by Yankee cavalry, I think, or a Yankee officer, one or the other. And after the war, he developed a secret formula of Coke. And anyway, no extra charge. But water has different tastes. When they do water purification, they put a little taste stuff in the water. And, of course, some of the cheaper water doesn't taste too good, because I guess they don't take the extra time to put better tasting things in it. And so you could do a whole sermon on this, and I'm sure preachers have done whole sermons on this passage. But basically it teaches a lot of things, of course, testing. God's going to test you. Who led them to this place? God did. And when they got there, they were very disappointed. And of course, God in his grace turned that water into very sweet stuff. And as it just says, he tested them. Of course, they flunked every test they ever had. And that's why they died of the sin unto death. That whole generation was wiped out with few exceptions. It took 39 years to do it. And in the first year, it took 40 years to do it. Number 7, water is used for rebound. John 13:10, which says, Jesus said to him, Peter, he who has bath, and that's lo'uo, which means a complete bath of the whole person, needs only to wash, nipto, and that means to wash your hands or your feet. This means rebound. Once you've been saved, you don't need to take a bath every day. Now, in our culture, we take baths or showers every day or twice a day, which I highly recommend. In the ancient world, not so much. But they washed their feet a lot. When you went from house to house, you would not enter someone's house unless you washed your feet. That was the first thing that happened. If they could afford a servant, they'd be there to wash your feet at the front door. If they couldn't, they'd have a bowl of water out there. Why? Well, people didn't have socks. They had sandals. And when you walked around the streets, there was all sorts of nasty stuff all over the street. From humans, from animals, and dirt, and grime, and dust. When somebody comes into your house, they're going to walk into your house with that stuff? Uh-uh. So you take the sandals off, wash your feet, and you wouldn't put the sandals back on. You either get new sandals or you walk in barefoot. That way your house doesn't get stunk, nasty, and all those things. So, Jesus said to Peter, he who has bathe, is a believer, needs only to wash, nipto, his feet, but is completely clean, and you are clean, but not all of you. So he says, you only need to wash your feet. This is rebound. You got to do rebound for the rest of your life. And he says, but is completely holos, clean, katharos, means you've been purified by fire. The believer has been purified by fire. And of course, fire, per, stands for great adversity, great judgment. Of course, who took the judgment? Christ did. Therefore, union with Christ, everything he has, we have. So because he went through the fire, we went through the fire in a sense of positional sanctification. We didn't literally bear the sins of the world. He did. But we're completely clean. And he says, and you are clean. These are all the 11 disciples. But not all of you. Judas. Judas never believed in Jesus Christ. He never believed in the Lord. Therefore, he was never saved. He never took the bath. Therefore, he couldn't do the rebound either. And he died, of course, as an unbeliever. And that is the doctrine of water. So we have several uses. The primary three uses, again, is grace, salvation, and Bible doctrine. But we studied some add-ons at the very end there. With our head bowed and our eyes closed, Father, we thank you for the privilege of studying your holy word. We pray that God, the Holy Spirit, will challenge us by these things and make them a source of blessing. In Christ's name, amen.